Welcome everyone to the second episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You have me, DJ Goose.
And me, just Poppy on the mic.
Yep, it's been too long. I think we went on like a 3 week.
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks, right? Hopefully we can make it less than that. And today we want to talk about Eminem's album Kamikaze. And kind of like the timeline of what has been happening since his release. And, you know, what we thought of the album. If we have a favorite song. And it what this means, I guess, in terms of its effect in rap. You know, if there is one. And to start off, the thing that probably surprised us the most is that this was a surprise, right, Poppy? Like, there was no promotion. There was, I think there was maybe a tweet like a few weeks or a month ago saying that he was working on something. Like, they confirmed that he was working, he was going to have a song on the Venom movie soundtrack. But that's all we heard. And then,
yep, just the announcement that there was going to be something in the works. It was already in the works. No release date officially. He sprung it on us last minute. And that was by design, actually. And we can get into that a little bit later in this episode.
Yeah, and it... And I remember I was watching YouTube, and that's when I first saw it. My brother Diego, he was on Spotify, and he was telling me, like, hey, did you know that Eminem came with a new album? Like, no, he didn't. He's a high-profile rapper. Like, everyone knows his name. He's not going to just release something. He's like, maybe it was a mix hit. Maybe it was like a... you know, one track theme, but it was a complete album. And I was like, what the freak? And, you know, we jumped up and we started listening to it. I kind of took your rule, Poppy, like listening to three times. I've actually listened to it more times after that because I really wanted to understand what was going on here, what the album was about. Because the album name, Kamikaze, is what got me, you know, because he puts like names like he had Marshmallows EP, then he had the Eminem Show, and then he had the ones that called Recovery, Relapse, Revival, kind of like on a theme of how he's, you know, I guess kind of reflecting like what he's done in his personal life. And so this one was just like, I wonder what it means. And, you know, as you get into the album, it's very self-explanatory why he calls it Kamikaze. And like you said, you were talking about how it sprung out, like, you know, out of nowhere. And then there's a reason for that, right?
Yeah, there was an absolute reason for it. And I guess I can just explain it now.
Yeah.
He was on Sway. If you don't know who Sway is, he's a very famous interviewer of hip-hop. He's a hip-hop enthusiast. He actually did rap in his early years. Didn't work out for him too much.
Did you see the Sway's interview and how Eminem had that, like...
Yeah, he had his vinyl track.
Yeah, and I was like,
dang! He signed it for him. And it shows the respect. I actually think Sway's underrated. I've always enjoyed his interviews. He has excellent guests on. But that's beside the point, I guess, when they were talking about it.
Yeah.
Why spring it on them just without announcing it?
Yeah.
And Eminem just basically said, it forced people to not force an opinion, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're thinking, oh, he's coming out with an album, they have these set expectations because they have time to think about it. But if you just wake up, like I did, because I have the music app Tidal, I love Tidal for that reason. It gives me specific alerts for new albums. It has a bunch of exclusives. Kamikaze wasn't exclusive, but it did announce it to me. So when I woke up at 4 in the morning to go to the gym, guess what I was listening to at the gym? My workout was probably weakened because I was trying to pay attention to the music, but... And that's what he said. He said allowing the fans to not have time to think about it made them be able to listen to it honestly and probably have a less biased opinion. And that was his... And it was actually, I think, really excellent. Good surprise for me
yeah.
as a hip-hop enthusiast and really smart on his behalf.
Yeah, I think it was actually a risk too because a lot of people were probably telling him... Or maybe not like his people like Dre and all that, but, you know, his P&L, like, you know, this is not a smart move. Like, we need to promote things, and that way people know that something's coming up. And so I think he took a risk on that because, you know, that they people want as many listeners as possible to hear the new stuff that he comes out with. And the fact that he dropped it and it caught the attention of everyone, I think it's also because of how well known he is.
Hey, he's prolific.
Yeah.
He is an icon.
Yeah, he is an icon. He's very successful. I mean, he's known for his style, for his lyrics, and just the way that he has changed rap and how he has put his, you know, his footprint in it. people are going to listen to this. If it was someone else lower than that, I don't think it would have worked the way that it did.
No, only a handful of high-profile hip-hop artists can actually get away with that. He happens to be one of the few.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, one of the things that was actually interesting about this, too, is I love looking at the actual like Billboard Hot 100 charts with its singles, albums, whatever that. So this album, when it came out, like, this is surprising because it came out of nowhere, and because streaming is so rarely available, you don't really download albums. This one still took the number one spot when it came out, and which makes it his sixth consecutive album, I think since 2002, something like that, that his album has always dropped number one. The only other rapper who has ever done that is actually Jay-Z, and I think they said he had 14 or something.
Yeah, when he dropped the Blueprint 3, which was back in 2009, that was 13 in a row.
Yeah, and I was like, holy crap. So that's crazy. I just wanted to bring up that, you know, that little tidbit of information that it did work for him, both on message that he wants to, you know, give, and on record sales, saying, you know, hey, you may be in different opinions on what I've brought out, you know, in terms of materials in my songs and albums, but I am still producing enough to come out as number one. And I love that. I think he, even though people, you know, give him criticism on what he does, and not, there's so many still fans out there that are just like, you know what, it's still, you know,
what good he does, for me. He does well.
Yeah.
And to that point, it brings up something that I absolutely love in hip hop, and it's the rivalry, the beef, the competition.
Yes.
I think it's excellent. It raises the bar. Especially in today's day and age, I know that people say hip hop overall lacks. I would say publicly, yeah, it kind of does. Again, you have to kind of search for the gems. At least I feel like I find some good gems. They weren't what they were back in the 90s or the early 2000s. And naturally, music has to progress. Times change. Technology and lifestyles have a huge impact on that. But, I mean, he is one of those older individuals that came out in the mid to late 90s. And he brought aggression. And I think part of the aspect that he called it kamikaze, and this is me reading into it, is obviously, if you don't know what a kamikaze is, I mean, you need to look it up, but it could have been maybe career suicide, right? Because these new age rappers have this fan base that is insane. The democratization of technology has made it easy for someone to make one song blow up and everyone loves that individual. And then there's this overall disrespect, I guess, or lack of respect of the older genres of hip-hop,
right?
And that's something that the old hip-hop heads hate, and something that the new hip-hop heads don't care for. They just, oh, they're old, they're out of date, they don't know what they're talking about, because they don't relate to them. It's a different day and age.
Yeah.
So he figured, I'm going to attack and see. It could be career suicide, because the fan base is so vastly in the favor of the new school rappers, it could have killed his career. But on, like I said, he's so prolific, it did nothing but help his career.
Right, and it's funny because I read some of the reviews that came out from like big music reviewers, like Entertainment and all that stuff. And it's funny that they are actually very biased towards not liking this album, saying like, and they have this little meme that my brother gave to me where it has little newspaper clipping from The Simpsons. It has Abe Simpson with his old man yelling at Cloud, and they put a picture of Eminem on there. And I mean, it's funny. It has some truth to it, but, you know, there's reason behind why he released it now than, you know, before, or even opened his mouth at all. But anyway, the reviewers kept saying, like, you know, this is a clear example of Eminem needing to leave the writing and hip hop to the younger generation, and he just felt really biased.
No way.
Towards him. I'm like, no, there's
no way.
Yeah,
having someone who doesn't give a fuck for all intents and purposes and goes after an entire generation of rappers is I love it.
Yeah,
again, it spawns good beef, I guess, competition. And in this case, particularly one individual that surprised me in terms of firing back was MGK.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to get into that beef right now, but
it's funny. We're talking all about the effects of it. We're not actually talking about the album at all. but let's get into the album here, because
sure.
I don't want to go track by track, but I do want to bring up his first track, which is The Ringer. This is where he comes out and he is ruthless. You know, he's firing back to everyone, and he does it in such a great way. He does it the way that is both like fun to hear, and it's great to hear his how do I say it? His him impersonating I guess lyrically and flowish like of the rappers today.
He samples them. He samples them. Mimics them slightly in his way. Yeah,
and the one that I like is he does the Gucci Gang thing, a little dun 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 dun. Yeah, he has the flow on there, and his is cool because in that song that he's referring to, I think all they say is just Gucci Gang for the whole chorus, right?
Yeah, Gucci Gang. Yeah.
And he does something like Chicken Bang, Wiggin Wayne, sounding like Lil Wayne, like, and he, it just really couldn't, those little like 3-4 syllables that are in that chorus part, he keeps adding just layers and layers and basically, like I said, dissing all these other rappers that are in this type of flow and are mimicking each other and saying, well, you're also mimicking this rapper, you know, Lil Wayne, and trying to be these clones. And not only that, he also is attacking freaking the President of the United States and also the Vice President. And he doesn't say him by name, but he says, I think he says Sergeant Orange in it, and talks about how he sent the Secret Service to him. And he talks about this more in the interview with Sway, saying like, yeah, they did come to my house. They asked me, you know, if I was a terrorist and all this stuff. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, he went at Charlamagne the God, who's also a hip-hop journalist, and Joe Budden, who... I mean, in my opinion, had a failing rap career. Now he's just that meme you expressed of Eminem being a bitter old man.
Yeah.
That is Joe Budden to me.
Okay,
Joe
yeah.
Budden can't accept that so many people have had better careers than him in the hip-hop industry. And for whatever reason, he's just ruthless to other hip-hop artists. And you would think that he would somewhat empathize with them a little bit.
Right.
Because if he had or tried to have a career in it, then and his didn't work. And again, overall, it didn't work out. At least not main success. The only real song I know from him is the Pump It Up song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious, and I refuse to sing it because I don't like that song. But I just like that he went after these people. He caused the controversy. And I know you mentioned, like, maybe favorite song. And I think The Ringer might be my favorite song because I think it was an excellent start, as you meant, right out the gate. He just called out everyone. So that's probably my favorite track because that's what spawned the beef. That's what made everyone listen. First song, everyone's, oh my gosh, he's going at everyone.
Yeah. And I think one of the things he does in the song that I don't think gets done a lot is that so you hear the song like slowing down, and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm not finished. And it comes back, I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't know why, but for me, I love when they do that. They think you're gonna done. They're like, nope, but wait, there's more. And he just comes and
Rick Rubin wasn't on this project, and I actually don't like when Rick Rubin works with Eminem. I think he works well with other artists,
right.
But he seems to, I think, withhold Eminem's potential. So the fact that he wasn't a part of this album, I think, made it better.
Yeah.
But that's my personal preference.
No, that's fine. And you know, all throughout this album, you know, he does go into I think like 60% of the 70% of the album is him just attacking people. And he says a line, and I can't believe it's in The Ringer, it might be in Not Alike, but there's a line where he says that if you mention me, and he's talking about like journalists specifically, but he says, if you mention me, you get millions of views. I mention you, I lose, you know. And going back to the whole Sway interview, he talked about, you know, he'd been silent, he never really want to start anything because he's like, you know, it's whatever, it's beneath me. And then he said, you know, after they panned Revival and after all this other stuff that happened, like we said, Machine Gun Kelly, you know, saying, dissing him on that Tech N9ne track, saying those things about his daughter Haley. At that time, he said, you know, that's why he said, you know what, F it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say what's on my mind and specifically target people and name them by name who I'm targeting so that there's nothing ambiguous about it. You know who I'm going against. And like I said, that's 60% of the album, and I think the other 40% deals with stuff that went on with him, especially the one called "Stepping Stone" with D12, which is one of my favorite songs on there because he talks about what happened with D12, what happened with Proof when he got shot and died, and basically how that was the start of the unraveling of D12, and I think for him it was very cathartic and therapeutic for him to write the song because he even told everyone D12 that he was writing a song about their relationship. They didn't know what it all contained. And he even said in Sway's interview that some of them haven't heard it or he hasn't told them or asked them what they thought about. But my question to you, Poppy, is like, what, when you heard that song, like, I don't know how much you knew about D12 at all or, you know, his what happened with them, because I don't know how much you listen to them at all, but what did you think of that song just as a...
I didn't like D12, to be 100% honest. There's probably three songs I liked about them, but because I enjoyed Eminem, then by extension, I kind of knew the background. Obviously, I knew he was really close to Proof. But I like... I mean, if you think of my two favorite artists in hip-hop, one and two, Jay-Z and Nas, respectively, in that order, and it's a very close two, it's almost identical to one... Most people only hear their main stream hits and they don't listen to the rest of the album. And the rest of the album, as you were mentioning, is can be very therapeutic. They leave a lot of emotion behind on their tracks. And I don't want to get off course from the kamikaze, but like Jay-Z's recent 444 album, they say, oh, this is Jay-Z opens up. And I don't know what you've been listening to, but if you listen to all previous Jay-Z albums, they're very personal. And he leaves a lot on wax, so to speak. And so does Nas. So that one honestly rings really nicely, because I like that he brings up resentment, because he admits some of his faults, but I also like that he was emotionally aware to say, I still resented some of it, thinking that I had to shoulder the entire weight of the group. And if you think of some sports teams, right, I think LeBron kind of comes to mind. Oh, he's had to shoulder the Cavaliers for so many years, and you know, they finally ended up getting a ring, but that's beside the point. At some point, even though you're the best, that's that much pressure for you to succeed and to have your team succeed with you. I don't know. And it may suck for them too, right? Like, I'm in Eminem's shadow. What am I going to say on a track? I don't have his profile. I don't have his resume. I don't have his skill set. I'm just going to ride his coattails of success and just leave it be. So he was open about every aspect of it. It wasn't an apology only. It wasn't him being mad at them only. It was so... not socially aware, emotionally aware. And I appreciate any track that's really emotionally aware. While they have great lyricism behind it, naturally he's one of the best wordsmiths out there.
Yeah. I love that he's clearing the air with them. And what's interesting is like some of their songs, like their joke songs, if you really look at it, is really self-reflective of how they were. Like the one that comes to mind is My Band, which came out. And because that one... they all talk about how M is like the leader and everyone else just kind of like, you know, he gets the tour bus and we're in this itty bitty van that's like breaking down. And it's funny because I think about that and I think, well, that's true. Like, you know, in the sense that he's the one that's bringing the success to the band. But he also has to be the one that promoted or else they're not going to get anywhere despite them having their solo careers or projects. And then the other thing that I just wanted to bring up that was also kind of, it kind of shocked me was, if you remember their song, Toy Soldier.
Yes.
Do you remember how in that one, Proof is the one that's actually like getting shot and dies?
Yeah.
And I saw it and then I think a few years later, then he gets shot and killed. I was like, dang, that's kind of...
It's funny because D12 has a song called 40 Ounce.
Yeah.
And it's like a club banger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Proof's verse, and I think it is the last verse, he goes, I'm in the club to beef. You got to murder me there. Guess where he was killed?
The club.
There you go. It's weird. I don't know if that was, I don't know.
Prophetic?
People have some conspiracies around that. We won't get into that, but.
No.
Just the beef. I mean, I know, to go back to it, this is somebody, being me, who loved watching Jay and Nas, which will be, I think we should dedicate an entire episode to. You know, battle for not just the king of New York, really, king of hip hop back in the day. Then we had, what's his name? 50 Cent, which blew up out of nowhere. And then he tried going after so many different... I think it backfired on him, but...
He went after Ja Rule. He went after
Ja Rule, Fat Joe, Jadakiss, Styles P, The RZA. Like, he is taking...
He went after Nas too. And Jay-Z. Yeah, yeah. And
everyone responded. Because remember, back in the day, he's going after all these New York big timers.
Yeah.
And New York is a battleground. That was the birthplace of hip-hop. So these people are like... the reason they got big was because Jay had a battle to get big. Nas battled to get big. Jadakiss's thing was battling. So,
yeah.
I think he shot... it was his own publicity stunt. And Eminem, I don't think he's doing it for publicity stunt. And to go back to that, I think it was competitive back then. So now the fact that... it did surprise me that anyone even responded to him. And MGK being the one that responded.
Right. And... I want to go into that in just a little bit. There's just one little tidbit I want to actually talk about the album. And it's just a funny thing because there's contradicting information about a sample that's in the song called Good Guy. If you hear the song, it goes like the beat when I first heard it, I was like, this sounds so familiar. Where the heck have I heard this before? So they did an interview, and the producer's saying, like, yo, yeah, we took a sample from Kingdom Hearts, and we put it in here. And I kept hearing, I was like, I understand what people might think, that's like, but I don't think this is what it is. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's not. I was like, I think it's wrong. And then someone came up and said, no, that's actually not what it is. We've confirmed it actually comes from an anime called Tokyo Ghoul Route A. And it's not an opening or an ending song, but it's an insert song when these soldiers are fighting these ghouls. I won't go into much in the anime, but and this song plays called Glassy Sky. And for me, it was such a huge thing. Like, I love it when rappers use, they either mention someone like Lupin mentioned Lupin the Third, which is an anime character, in that song with Kanye West. And this one, they're sampling Glassy Sky, the chorus of the lady singing, as the beat for the song. And I that got me giddy.
Well, Eminem is a self-admitted nerd.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't surprise me one bit.
It doesn't surprise me. It just surprised me that it came from, it was an insert song, and it came from a crappy second season of an anime, because that anime just sucked. But that's neither here nor there. I'll talk about that in another one. But that got me good. And I really liked the, because he had a song right before called Nice Guy. And it's just basically two different perspectives of being like in a bad relationship. And the second one just, I liked more just because the beat was better for me. And I liked the lines a little bit better in Good Guy. Because there's one line that he talks about, because he's in the song, he talks about how his girlfriend is like just a whore and just really not worth his time. And one of the lines that I realized, I don't know why I like it so much. It says, I'm going to take these 2x4s to our 8x10s. I just really love that line for whatever reason. I just think it was just very like, just very smart and witty to use it that way. You know, the measurements of a picture frame and, you know, of a piece of wood, and just, you know, going to town and destroying what they were, because it wasn't worth all the pain, all the things they struggled through. But I don't know, what was another song that you liked before we go to the MGK?
Fall was a pretty good one. I think maybe overall production quality, I like the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the whole album. I actually took it as a satire approach as well, right? Just the fact that he mimicked, it was a way to kind of lure them in, bait them. Hopefully he baited one, being MGK. Again, a satire. He takes a certain humor in some of his music, which sometimes works really well. I get kind of upset at some of them, my band being an example of it. I think D12 was a little too comedic at times.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. Was it the Eminem show? I think that's probably,
In my Encore. Opinion, I think you think of Encore.
Oh, Encore was like...
Was the weird one.
And Relapse is arguably his worst album, in my opinion. I thought it was worse than Revival, which was the one that people hated back in December of last year, 2017. But I don't know. The album, I think, is really good. He took it with an approach. Like, he had a tunnel vision, and he achieved what his vision was. And I think it was just to shit on everyone, being new rapper, new rap, and do it with his classic wordplay, wordsmithing, cadence and rapping, being able to mimic stuff while still having some of that old school sound to it.
Yeah. And honestly, like all the ones that he mentioned aside from MGK, I don't think are ever going to say anything. There was actually something that of 6ix9ine, I don't know if you saw it, they did like a little cell phone video of him trying to rap over, I think it was Lose Yourself. I can't even get through the video because I was laughing so hard, because he was like off the beat and just mumbling through words, stumbling through it. And it's just, I don't know if it was his freestyle, if he wrote it like right off the fly, but it was just terrible. It was like his, you know, quote unquote response to mumble rapping.
Well, he's not a mumble rapper, so that doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, but that was his response to it for whatever reason.
No.
But it was just funny. Like he took himself to try and imitate or try to make fun of Eminem, and it is
not terrible for him. No,
but let's actually get to the one that actually responded, that everyone heard, that actually probably helped him out a lot, was Machine Gun Kelly. He obviously, Eminem talked to him and said specifically, like, you know, I'm targeting you. You know, if you're gonna come at me, then come at me. Don't do it like in a feature track. And as like a little side note, he's like, you just come at me directly. And Machine Gun Kelly did with Rap Devil. And I don't know, what did you think of the song?
I actually liked Rap Devil. I will give MGK credit. And I don't know if it's because I don't think I had low expectations. I was actually just honestly surprised that he responded, period. I wish, though, that he'd take out, because he ends up complimenting Eminem a lot in the diss track, right? And that bugged me. If you're going to respond, you're too late. You've dug yourself the hole. Just commit to it and make everything a diss. Don't, you complimented him once, okay, whatever. But it seemed like in every verse he'd compliment him multiple times. Just commit to it and just like, go for the
You're the best
jugular.
In the world. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's like, but yeah, but F your beard.
No, but that's not how the battling I'm used to, right? Yeah. Like, go for the jugular and the locks, which is comprised of Jadakiss, Sheik Luch, and Styles P. Can't remember which one said it. I think it was Styles P. He goes, you know, when it comes down to hip-hop beef, anything goes, and you have to understand that. And he was saying that because of the conflict between Remy Ma and Nicki Minaj back when they were beefing about 2 years ago or about a year and a half, and Sheether had come out, and everyone was on that. So I want to see that level of commitment. If you're going to beef, duke it out. But it needs to stay on wax. I don't like when it gets violent. Obviously, we saw what happened with Biggie and Tupac. That's too extreme. But I think as long as it stays on in the music in and of itself and doesn't get ultimately violent, because I don't know if you guys saw, but 50 Cent did threaten Joe Budden.
Yeah.
And I think that's too far. But when if it's just tracks, bring it all day, every day. Yeah. So I liked the Rap Devil, but I don't think he's going to win at all. I don't think anyone thinks he will win.
What surprised me was the video.
I never watched it.
Particularly in the video, it's kind of like, it has like a dark, like grayish filter to it. And in the video, it's like very simple. He's like, goes maybe between two or three locations. But in one location, he's in the street and he's eating oatmeal or cereal or something. All throughout that part, I was like, I don't know why he's doing that. It doesn't make any sense. And his whole thing, like, let's talk about it, chorus part. I don't know. I did like some of his verses. You know, he did like little witty marks, and I did like it. I don't know too much about Machine Gun Kelly because before that, I'd only listened to him. What was it when he came out with Bad Things with Camila Cabello, where they. You know that song, right?
He had the song Wild Boy, and then he had the remix on it with a bunch of different rap. I never liked MGK's music.
But the only one I ever heard that I remember was that Bad Things song that he had. And so I had to re-listen to that to see how his style was. And this one, I think, like I said, I thought it was really good. But yeah, the whole thing that bothered me was the compliments and... I don't know. It just seemed kind of. I think he could have done a little bit better.
Out the compliments.
Yeah, take out the compliments.
It
would have been better
because it doesn't backtrack what you just said, right? It voids what you have said before, or it even voids what you're just about to say, right?
Yeah, like, it's like, I hate you, but you're awesome.
Yeah,
I'm like, just, okay.
Okay, I mean, stick to one or the other. This isn't a paradox diss. Like, just commit to it. Try to go for the jugular, stand your ground, and people will respect that in the long run. Like, I obviously already respected the fact that he decided to make one. And again, it could be a publicity thing. He figures, oh, not many people know who I am. If I take shots at a highly prolific rapper, then my name's going to get out there automatically. And naturally, it does.
Yeah.
But things like social media, I think, have honestly ruined a lot of things for me in the hip-hop genre. And a lot of other things, but specifically music. I think
right.
It's been ruined because of it.
And a lot of people were, you know, behind, you know, MKG saying, oh, I can't believe he did that. Like, that's awesome. And MKG, MGK,
that's good.
You know, they respected that he actually responded. Because, again, it's at least in this day and age, I think it's very rare that someone comes back with a diss track or it disses someone specifically. Like you said, it wasn't like in the back in the 90s and 2000s. Like, freaking LL Cool J in the 80s and 90s was also like doing diss tracks.
LL actually was a good, He didn't care. I liked LL. He had skills.
Yeah, at that one, I remember the first one that I remember having was Ice Cube with NWA, then Ice Cube with Eazy-E. And then I think the most recent one that I remember that actually was big was when Drake was dissing, what's his name? Meek Mill.
Oh, he was going at it with Pusha T for a little bit.
Yeah, and that one I didn't know too much, but I just knew about Meek Mill, and I just remember, like, yeah, he was done. Meek Mill was done with that one. But it was good to see that this is starting again, and then Eminem shot back with Killshot. And I think this is a good way, an example of how to reference, you know, the song that you're being mentioned on, and like turning a 180. And that's what he did. Like, he, I think he even hears some parts of Rap Devil in it, and he's like, okay, he's like, shut up. It's like, then I'm gonna tell you what I'm going now. And he was just like going crazy on him. And one of the lines that really stuck to me is, he, and some people, and we'll talk about this later, but you know, other people thought that some of the lines were like either childish or something. But one of the lines that I really liked the most was, he talks about, like, you know, when I was 29, I had 3 like best-selling albums better than yours. And he says, like, you know, I'd rather be an 80-year-old me than a 20-year-old you. I think that's how he ends it. I can't remember.
Well, he doesn't end it that way. No, he doesn't end it. He says it in the song.
Yeah, and I remember, like, oh, that's sick. Like, and I'm trying to gather, like, my thoughts on it. I just really liked it. But it was funny, like, this one is the one that had also, like, a lot of rappers, a lot of other people expressing their opinion on it, and some of it took me by surprise. I think one of the controversial lines in that song, and I don't know if you agree with this or maybe think another one, is when the one that he talks about Diddy, where he talks about, he's like, and I think there's a different layers to this line, because he talks about, like, you know, the day you get like a hit, like a number one hit, is the day that Diddy admits, you know, for shooting or conspiring to kill Pac. I see it as many different, you know, layers of what that means. Like, I know he's taking a shot at Diddy, but there's other layers.
You think he's taking a shot at Diddy?
I think he is, because, like,
why do you think he is, though? Because I do too, but I have a very specific reason.
Well, look at this. So he has, Machine Gun Kelly, he's under Bad Boy Records and Interscope, right?
Well, yeah, because Bad Boys is part of Interscope.
Yeah, part of it. Doesn't he own the Breakfast Club?
Did he,
isn't he?
I don't think so. Maybe.
I can't remember. But Joe Budden's under him. I know Joe Budden's under him and under his, like, TV or his Sirius channel. And I think, like, all these people that he went after also, I don't know, I think coincidentally are somehow in business deals or friends with Diddy. And so I think that's why he's taking a shot directly at Diddy about that. But I also think it's like kind of like Diddy will never ever admit to shooting Pac, even if, whether it's true or not. Whether it's true or not, he's never going to do that. And basically, Eminem is saying, that's why you're never going to get a number one hit. Saying it's impossible because it's going to happen when this happens.
Yeah, I don't think he got Tupac shot, to be honest, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's
neither here nor there. Diddy, but I mean, Jay in an interview, and I think it is with the Breakfast Club, if not, it's Hot 97, but it had to have been Breakfast Club because Charlamagne was still on it.
Yeah.
And did you ever watch it where they talk about the current state of hip-hop and Jay just mentions something about Diddy influencing these new age rappers? So Charlamagne goes, why? And he goes, well, if you look at him, all he did was get on tracks with Nas and Big and B.I.G. and just yell nonsense into the mic. And look how big he is now.
As we proceed.
So, yeah. And then Charlamagne goes, so you're saying P. Diddy ruined the rap game? And Jay-Z, in a political fashion, just goes, that's not what I'm saying. But he smiles and shakes his head. And we all know that they've had their differences before in the past.
Right.
I agree. People saw... I don't have to put much effort into it. Look what Diddy did. He would just scream obscenities into Nas's music, into B.I.G.'s music. And look where he's at now.
Top of the world.
Yeah. Just owning shit. He has a Grammy. He doesn't deserve one, but he has one.
What was it for?
I can't remember which album. But he had Album of the Year Grammy. I can't remember what album.
But he hasn't come out with that. Like,
he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. He doesn't do anything. Like, he maybe produces. He does his whole thing, like, making the band, like he did with Danny Kane and with The Band. And
no, he's an excellent businessman.
He's a good, excellent businessman. Phenomenal,
but
he doesn't do anything.
You're not an excellent rap artist. Yeah. And no offense to Dr. Dre, also not a great rap artist. He had one good album, in my opinion. So when people say, oh, he's one of the richest rappers. No, he doesn't rap anymore. He can't be. Same with P. Diddy. He's not a rapper anymore.
And Dre, he, even if you watch, you know, Straight Outta Compton, they talk about him, like, he was also more on the producer, like, even from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, that was his whole thing. And he did the whole rapping thing because, you know, might as well. They had Eazy-E who didn't know how to rap, and they put him on there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the whole Diddy thing, yeah, that's why I think he took a shot at Diddy with, you know.
And what's Diddy going to say? A, he's not, as you mentioned, he's not going to own to anything. He's going to laugh it off as a joke because it's Eminem, and he says anything and everything that comes to his mind, whether it's true or not. So it's maybe just that slight smack in the face that he gets to get away with.
I actually was going to say he did say something, I think it was earlier today, because Joe Budden was talking, and they asked him, you know, did he hear the track Killshot from Eminem? And he said, yeah, he did, and he talked to me. And he said, what are you going to do about it? And Diddy G said, Joe Budden said, Diddy told me, he's like, don't worry, it's being taken care of. He's like, that's all it is. He said, that's all he said. That's all we need to know. I was like, what the hell does that mean?
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. He's not going to do anything. Like, no. He has, people were thinking, like, maybe he's going to try and get Eminem blacklisted with certain people or groups or organizations. And like, but Eminem also has that influential as much as Diddy does in communities.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Eminem has Jay-Z's phone number in his phone, and Jay owns his own shit. You know what I mean? Jay's actually taken several rappers under his wing, under his label, but again, another conversation for another day. So needless to say, I think this album spawned a lot of good stuff. I hope this inspires older generation rappers that are still kind of around to drop something similar that's reminiscent of their old days while still being in tune with what's culturally going on, and even take shots at people, because I love hip-hop beef.
Dude, it's the best thing. Like I said, if you want to look at the beef, we'll talk about it. We're going to do an actual video on it, about beefs that happened, you know, go from decades, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now. I mean, obviously now in the 2010s, not as much, and maybe not as big, or as many, you know, back and forths, but, you know, there are some there. There's even one, it was Mace, which was Mace. Like, I think it was like 2016 that he came out. I was like, what the heck is he doing?
He went back at Cam'ron recently.
And I was like, Cam'ron? I was like, Cam'ron, he sucks. That's my opinion. Like,
they
sucks.
Both fell out. But the funny thing is, Mace got big because Notorious B.I.G. died. If Biggie hadn't died, many people claim that Mace wouldn't have been anything. I disagree with that, quite frankly. But it just happened well for him.
Right.
B.I.G. died. He gets to step in because he was obviously under Diddy.
Yeah.
And now Maze is, again, not really anything, but...
Right. Yeah, well, he left 5 years, came back
as a pastor. Yeah.
Then, is he a pastor still? I haven't followed much about him. And
he is still.
He is, okay. Because I heard his diss on camera, and I was like, I don't think pastor is supposed to talk like that.
I guess in his church, maybe, but...
Church of Maze.
Church of...
Go there.
M-A dollar sign.
M-A dollar sign.
He's given us a couple good hits, though, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I like that. The final thing I want to talk about is just, I guess, some of the responses to Killshot, and one of them has to do with Iggy Azalea.
Ugh.
So first of all, I think her only like real big hit was the Fancy song, and then everything else has been like mediocre and just bad. And she's actually mentioned in Killshot because Eminem calls
her
as a hoe. And she's like, the funny thing is like, oh, this was like, these were lazy raps. These were lazy bars. Like, and this is my unbiased opinion. But I think that, you know, I love watching these two guys, and it just felt that he was too childish and all this stuff. And I've read this, like who's going to take your opinion seriously?
She's salty because she was called a hoe. I don't blame her for being upset. I'll be like, okay, I can see where you're coming from. But if anyone has seen any videos of her, there's this famous video where she's just on stage mumbling nonsense. I don't know if she was attempting to freestyle or if it's one of her songs. Either way.
Didn't she go on at the Breakfast? No, it wasn't the Breakfast Club. She did it at a...
Was it Funkmaster Flex
where I think it
she
was.
Bombed?
And the guy goes, like, you suck.
No, it was on Sway.
It was on Sway?
It was on Sway.
Okay.
But either way, how is someone who can't... Not you don't have to freestyle, honestly, to be big in rap. Some rappers made it big and they weren't, their thing isn't freestyling. But if you're going to attempt to freestyle, be good at it.
Right.
And if not, you're clearly not memorizing your own music. You're not a great performer. And something that, even if you hate Eminem, he is an excellent performer. He knows his craft. He knows it very well. He knows word for word his lyrics. He says it. He articulates it. And this person who, as you just mentioned, has just one hit song, Fancy. She actually has another song with T.I. called Mediocre.
Oh, yeah.
And
but
she's not even mediocre.
Yeah.
She's not even mediocre, in my opinion. She doesn't have an exclude like a what a lucrative hip hop career. Her opinion matters to no one. So she's just upset that she got called a hoe.
Yeah, and people that, you know, she thought would have her back on it didn't. It's like,
well, what are you gonna say?
I don't know. Be like, what, yeah, you tell them.
Like, show us footage. Show us music that is remotely can even put a spotlight on what Eminem has done.
Yeah, and again, he came. He went back. You know, went to his. He's sticking to, you know, how he battled, how he rapped before. He's not gonna conform to the style that it is now. You know, the little triplet thing, da da dun da da dun da da or dun da 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 dun da 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 da. Because even Snoop, you know, a while back talked about, like, all these rappers sound the same. I think it was him, 50, and some other rappers that were in there. And he talked about that, saying, this is why rap is sucking, because these people are just copying each other. And it's nothing is new, nothing sounds special.
Really quickly, before I forget to say, and I'll just say it doesn't have to be a long conversation.
No, you're fine.
He does mention that he respects certain rappers, being J. Cole's one of them. He Kendrick has Joyner Lucas on it. He's the only rapper feature on his album. Kendrick Lamar and Big Sean, which I don't agree with the Big Sean
concept. That one I heard and I was like,
I'm not a huge fan of Big Sean overall. And I actually think Big Sean fits the mold of the New Age rapper, where a lot of his rhymes mimic exactly what the New Age rappers do in that three sequence cadence of the da 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 da. Just, I don't like Big Sean though. I think he's highly overrated.
I don't think I've ever liked any of his songs. Yeah, I heard some of his songs and I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You're okay.
I get the Kendrick. I get Joyner Lucas. I actually like a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
I get J. Cole. Okay. They're all extremely artistic in their own sense. And Big Sean has good bars. Maybe I just don't like his delivery and his sound. So I don't know.
It might be. But I mean, he mentioned them. I mean, so he himself gives them credit. He gives some credit to Lil Wayne too. I mean, maybe of what he was before. Not, I personally don't think as he is now.
You know, he's different now.
Yeah, he's different now, obviously. But like I said, Iggy Azalea got reamed, and then Jay Electronica did. So this is his exact tweet that he said, referring to the line about Diddy shooting Tupac, or, you know, putting a hit on him. He says, "How dare you accuse Diddy of killing Tupac while you completely look past Jimmy Iovine and those who profited from his death the most?" And then here's the line that I think killed his, like, his social media presence. He says, "You best tread carefully, son, before I come tear your ivory tower down like Solomon during the Templar nights." And he says, "RIP proof." And people just went crazy on him, like, saying, like, who are you? Like, why does your opinion matter? And he shut down his Instagram and his Twitter. Like, I you have to read some of the comments, like, the people were putting on. It was hilarious. And, just amazing. I just love how it's this, I guess it's reminiscent, like, again, of what happened in the 90s with these battles. And you see now how it's being affected in the modern age with social media. Like, people are behind, you know, M's attack so much that they're making people, like, be cut off from people on social media. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the repercussions of what's happened because of this album. And I think it's changing. It will change the direction of hip hop to
be competitive again. Sport.
Be creative, be unique. You know, that's the whole thing. That's my whole issue that I've had with rap in the past few years, is that it doesn't sound unique to me. They all sound, you know, like they're in the same bowl and just can't really tell one apart from the other. You know, there's always going to be those rappers that are different, and like you said, they're far and few in between. And that's why I want to have more of that quality rap to be not just here and there, but, you know, more consistent. And I'm hoping that's what this album does. You know, and my question, you know, to you is, do you feel that this could possibly lead to a change?
Yes. Believe it, I didn't care much for Kanye's last album, to be honest. And not that he has anything specific to say. I think he might see the controversy that this has spawned. And he in and of himself is a very competitive individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might put something else out. Jay has always had massive respect for Eminem, and they have mutual respect for each other. I think he's going to end up being like, I want to do something to push out and push limits, as he still continues to do. So this is maybe invigorating for him. Same with Nas. I think maybe hopefully J. Cole does the same. Kendrick does the same thing. So I think it is going to spawn. I think that the inner creativity, I mean, we might just see some of the same artists that we already enjoy, but if they're going to be the only ones to put out good albums, so be it. I'm okay with listening to them. Wu-Tang has had a recent resurgence.
Yeah.
At least some of the artists have, specifically Raekwon and Ghostface, which happen to be my two favorite from that clan. And which reminds me, if we're going to give a track for the people that we just recently came across, I have one. It's from Ghostface, and he actually features a couple people on there. I think it's King Crooked, 38 Spesh, and Benny the Butcher. Uh-huh. But the song is called Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
I love it because it has a definite early 90s flair to it. East Coast production, blaring horns, just that solid, heavy beat to it, and great lyricism. So check it out again. It's Buckingham Palace, Ghostface Killah, featuring a lot of different artists. He's one of my favorite artists, so you should listen to that track.
Okay. The one that I wanted to mention before we go is one, it's by Twista. If any of you remember Twista, because his whole thing was, he's the fastest rapper. You know, he can spit out the worst faster than anyone. He's got there.
The world record.
Yeah, he does. He does it. No one can beat it. He has a song called Overnight Celebrity, and I really like that song because it was one of the first, because there's this violinist and I can't remember her name, but she was in Twista's song. She was in Kanye West in his graduation album. Like she was actually pretty big in the hip hop community. They were always using her to play, you know, before Lindsey Sterling and all that. And he comes up with that song, Overnight Celebrity. And I just really like the violin is what really got to me. I really like, that's what caught me in. And his, and
wait, did you just discover this song?
No. Oh, okay. It's just one I just recently heard. Got it. I thought that's what we were talking about.
Oh, I meant one heard. That you recently came across that either you didn't know existed or is legitimately a new song.
Oh.
And Buckingham Palace released about 3 weeks ago. So imagine my surprise. Friday morning, I wake up. Ghostface has a new track that sounds 90s. Yeah, I'm in.
So actually, to go that one, there is one that I did listen really recently. And it is Ghostface that's on there. Let me see what song it was. I just want to really quick, because the one I started listening, because he does a song with Tupac, or I think he was called Machiavelli at the time, called Smile. And this one, let's see here. Oh, where did he go? You can talk about something while I look it up. I just want to find it really quickly. Most of his stuff, doesn't he do mostly all with tons of features?
Ghostface?
Yeah.
Ghostface loves doing features. He did have a pretty prolific start to his career, having things like Bulletproof, Iron Man, Supreme, like these kind of albums with the Wu-Tang era day. Now he's just kind of bringing in these new rappers that aren't very well known, which is why I like him. He's a raw lyricist. He's not your typical... If you're a typical hip-hop fan that just likes the mainstream stuff, he usually doesn't fit that mold. He's definitely more of the, again, old school, very New York style. And he's bringing up a bunch of other people. And they always kind of challenge the norm. But because they kind of fly under the radar, most people don't hear about it. I would think it's just as controversial as something Eminem puts out. But the profile does help some of that controversy.
Right.
But so to you guys, the fans on this podcast series, I think every episode I do want to end with a song that we recently discovered, not meaning we found it and no one else knows about it. It's just I didn't know this was a song until now, or this was a song that recently just dropped and we liked it. Or if we didn't like it, why didn't we like it?
Right, and I can't find it, but I know Jay-Z is the one that starts it. Jay-Z is on the track with Ghostface, and he starts it, and I think Kanye West is in it, but I don't hear him featured.
If it was back in the day with Ghostface, Kanye would have featured as a producer and not as an actual artist.
So I can't remember what the song is called. It has like a soft beat, like dun 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 dun, and I can't remember. But that I actually came across that one because I didn't listen to much Ghostface. Are you thinking
of Scarface? Maybe you're Scarface. Thinking of it's actually wrong one of my favorite songs. It's what's it called? Guess Who's Back.
Yes.
Beanie Siegel's on it too.
Yes. Sorry, I got that one mixed up. Sorry.
So that's a sample. Speaking of, you mentioned you love hip hop when they sample things like anime. Mm-hmm. I love hip hop because a lot of samples come from a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
But I think it's called Sunrise. It's The Sunrise is an old, very like Commodore-y type song. So Kanye West took that and actually sped down the beat. Uh-huh. So when you hear... Me and my buddies actually call that the ice cream truck track. And
ice cream truck.
But yeah, it's called Guess Who's Back. It's Scarface, who is an excellent Southern rapper. It features Jay-Z, and it has Beanie Siegel as well, which I thought his verse was a bit weak and short, but I mean, Jay-Z and Scarface on a track is magic.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, that one's the one that I really liked.
We should be able to link maybe some of the YouTube links to the two yeah. songs we mentioned, so that way you guys can log in and listen to them and kind of see what we're talking about. So we'll actually put up the links.
Yeah.
And I'll get an email set up as well. I don't know if we want to have a Twitter presence, but maybe we...
We might. I actually do have an email. It's hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. You can send us comments, you know, if you liked it, what you want us to talk about. Because like I said, we're going to be doing podcasts more regularly, but we want to do videos as well that are going to be more, like I said, special stuff. Like you said, beef and hip-hop from, you know, from era to era, and maybe other stuff, specials, like focusing just on, you know, Nas or JC, Tupac, or someone else that maybe is under the radar and what their career is, or what it was and how it is now. So, and if you have ideas of what you want us to talk about, yeah, you can leave a comment in the Podomatic episode, or like I said, you can send an email to hiphopsoiree, that's SOIREE 2018@gmail.com. And I think that's it. Any last words, Poppy?
No, that's it. Appreciate the listeners. Hopefully you liked it. Last episode, I think, was just under 25 minutes.
Yeah,
this one's like probably breaching well over an hour.
Almost an hour.
But I've enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys enjoy it too. Again, give us the feedback. But this is Poppy signing out.
This is DJ Goose. We'll see you later.